today. So every day we start fresh because we can't affect the past, but we damn sure can make a difference today.
Welcome to episode 102 of Shop Talk. In case you're new here, I'm Carrie.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we are back after a two-week hiatus with a new episode. And this week we are discussing 604 of The Rookie, where we saw the team work an intense case and Aaron faced his first day back to work as well. So we'll dive into the episode, but first we just had a few pieces of news to cover, and then we'll get started. I mean, first we just had a couple of episode descriptions. In case you don't follow us on Twitter, we posted them there already. But I mean, Jennifer, did you want to read the first one or?
Yeah. So 605 is titled The Vow. The air date is next Tuesday, so April 2nd. And it says, when a toddler is found at the scene of a crime, John and Bailey must decide whether to let the child go to a shelter for the night or care for her themselves. Meanwhile, someone from his past returns, which means Tim disappears and leaves Lucy in the dark. Interesting. And then according to a TV Line article that dropped today, Matt's inside line, Tamara will be returning in next week's episode. And then they also mentioned in that same article that we wouldn't find out Lopez's baby's name until later in the season, if at all, which I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird, but that makes me like have hope that they didn't name her after someone that they know they've loved, just because that's how we found out baby Jack's name was at Jackson's grave. And I feel like if her name would have meant something more, they would have shared it by now, I feel like. So
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Do you want to take the next one?
Yeah, the next one is Secrets and Lies. It'll air April 9th. And following their time as foster parents, Bailey has decided she wants to have a baby and forces John to reconsider their decision to not have children. Meanwhile, John and Selena discover a prison escapee whom they fear is out for revenge and race to find her before it is too late. So yeah, there's a lot going on for Baylin in these next couple episodes.
So after like one episode of them like watching this toddler, they're now considered foster parents.
Apparently.
I mean, okay.
Albeit almost like losing said child per the promo for next week's episode.
Yeah. I haven't totally watched the promo, so I have that to go watch after, but like also, can you really force someone to like reconsider their decision to not have kids? Like, I don't know if you can.
No, I didn't like that word choice. I don't know if that was just like bad.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that was.
Yeah, if that was just bad word choice on their part. Especially since Bailey definitely is, you know, free spirited or, you know, can seem a little bit like headstrong or something, but like it just super impulsive like that. I don't really know if that really seems like her.
I feel like that was just bad word choice because Alexi also said that they're not going to write her pregnancy into the show.
Yeah.
Jazz, that is. So, like, maybe they're reconsidering or John's reconsidering and they, like, take a full season to, like, think about it. But, again, like, we don't need all of them to be moms and have kids. Like, yes, I like to see it, but also, like, we don't. I don't know. This is so weird, like, because on other shows, like, we don't have that at all. So, like, on The Rookie, we have two mom cops and then, like, Lucy, who has Tamara. But it's kind of like, I don't know, I would like to see Bailey not have kids, too. Like, because I feel like she's so much more interesting without, like, anything else, to where we could focus on one of her dozen hobbies. You know,
yeah, I was gonna say, and that. She is so busy.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah,
how that all shakes out for him. I don't know. And then we're just, covering a few more things, just fun things, because it's been a couple weeks. Obviously, if you guys saw on Lisette's Instagram and like Eric's as well, some of the rookie cast reunited at a, it was a pre-Oscars party a couple weeks ago. And then last weekend, they did this like salsa dancing night, which Eric and Rosalind hosted. And we just love their group hangouts so much. So fun.
I just love that they're like, either they're really showing it this season, or they're like doing more of it to where it's like we're getting to see them kind of hang out off, like offset and everything. So, and then Nathan and Danielle posted the same location for filming during the season six finale. Like, it's crazy to think that they're already done filming for season six. We've gotten some videos, some pictures, and people are speculating if Blair will somehow be involved with Nolan's final case. I can't say that I've seen those. I feel like I did a little bit, but I didn't like go in and watch them. But yeah, there's been a bunch of behind the scenes from the final days of filming, and other theories that include something happening to Tim or Tim worried for Lucy. So we're anxious to see what will happen for the rest of the season, especially given this episode and the end of it. So yeah. But I think with that, we could just jump right into the episode because there was a lot to cover. So
So obviously this one's called Training Day. We're gonna start off with Aaron's first day back at work and his case that he got to cover. The episode started with Aaron in another therapy session with Blair, and he's reimagining the shooting, obviously from the season five finale. And when he kind of comes out of that, Blair is telling him that this is the first time during the exercise that his heart rate did not spike. He remained calm, and he has come to understand that he knows that there's no way he would have been able to stop what happened to him and Selena that night. And he acknowledges that he's been blaming himself, and that, that specific situation and the aftermath is outside of his control. And Blair, like agrees with that and congratulates him, and she's gonna sign off on him returning to work. And then when they shake hands, you see the or hear and see the little beeping, and his heart rate spikes again. And so things are a little bit awkward there. And then they're both just like, okay, gonna go. Like, and then cue the theme song music. So that was kind of the cold open, more or less, for them. And then we got to see Aaron, make his official return to the Mid-Wilshire division, and everyone was clapping and welcoming him back. And he insists that he's ready to, like be back on active duty. Cut to Sergeant Gray calling Tim into his office because he thinks that Aaron's not ready.
I loved your
And
tweet about that last night. It was like,
that's just
the track.
instantly what I thought, just because of the abrupt cut. Like, it was, because he was like, oh yeah, no, I'm strong in mind, body, spirit, I'm ready. And then it's just like, Aaron's not ready. And so Gray tells him to help, get Aaron reacclimated. And basically Tim was like, okay, so he's gonna get like punched in the face. And I thought he was just like not meaning literally. I thought it was just like this weird figure of speech. Like, I didn't really know what in the world. No, but they do mean it literally. Which we'll see towards the very end. But when Aaron and Tim are in the shop together, he tells Aaron about the train tests, which are different from TIM tests. They stand for tactical, responsive, assertive, investigative, and nerve. Which this is just the English person in me, but the fact that the rest of them were like ending in VE and then the tactical was not in VE like bothered me. But anyway, apparently, the strategy for these kinds of tests are to evaluate, improvise, adapt, and overcome. I think Emily on Twitter pointed out that that's what part, well, part of that statement was on Anderson's tomb or headstone, and I was like, oh, that's oh.
I think I'd seen that parallel too, and I was like, yep, that hurts.
Yeah. Well, because it was like also apparently like recently the like anniversary of like the her death on the show. And I was like, oh, that's sad. It's officially 5 years now with no Captain Anderson. So but yeah, so that's kind of the strategy. Apparently they already have a call to get to, because this man's name, though, oh my goodness, Tyson Kalashnikov. He apparently needs to be brought in due to a missed court appearance. And so, you know, he's this apparently giant guy who, you know, it's assumed that Aaron's going to have to fight in order to get him to, you know, come with him. And they end up entering the home. They find Tyson in a full body cast, unable to even get himself a beer, let alone ready to fight any cops. So they're waiting for a transport van to pick him up when they brought him outside. And then there's a woman that starts walking up to the door, demanding to know where Tyson is, and Aaron is like, yeah, I'll handle this. He tries to get her information. She pretends to be, you know, selling, I don't even know, like religious material or something. And then starts to run, prompting him to give chase and tackling her to the ground. And there's like money flying out of her bag as she fell down to the ground. Yeah, so that's kind of, I mean, he does eventually subdue her and takes her into the station along with Tyson. And so they're both kind of sitting down, and then Aaron relays to Tim what he knows so far, that the woman's probably involved in the same criminal activity as Tyson, and she had $15,000 on her. But Aaron's more interested in knowing why she had all that money. And this prompts him to say that the I in train technically stands for investigative initiative, which Aaron points out is two eyes, which that was great. I enjoyed that because Tim's side eye was just, I mean, classic.
I love how Aaron was like, you do realize that that's two eyes, right? And Tim's like, not now. I'm not doing this right now.
Yeah, and then Bradford tells Thorson that he has 9 minutes to figure all this out, or else he'll recommend that he go back to the FTO program. And, you know, Aaron wastes a good, what, like
20
13 seconds
seconds
or
of it.
something, being, you know, nine? Why not 10? He's like, it's 8 minutes and 47 seconds left. So off Aaron goes. And so while interviewing this woman, which I swear to God, we still didn't even know her name yet.
Good.
And Aaron finds out that this woman's husband, who's named Austin Walker, is doing 3 to 5 years in San Quentin, for embezzlement. And before she can even really respond, he infers that since Tyson did four stints in the same prison and is the lieutenant of the Devil's Crown prison gang, that this woman paid Tyson to protect Austin in prison. So she just kind of goes with that, and says, you know, if she didn't get the money to Tyson by tomorrow, then Austin was as good as dead. And Aaron basically is like, okay, yeah, we're gonna help you, and then gets up and goes back to kind of report to Tim. And he thinks that it seems pretty cut and dry. But then Aaron wonders if he's missing something, and Tim did his signature move of, you know, well, I didn't say anything, aka making Aaron kind of second guess himself. And later on, like, he's kind of left there to think about that for a second. He does kind of start to do a little bit more research, and he's rereading the same thing about, I'm assuming, Austin's case file and the woman's information as well. He's rereading that so many times. He's still not finding anything. And when Gray stops by to check in on him, he, you know, is telling him about all these roadblocks that he's having. And Gray's like, well, sometimes they can be physical, sometimes they can be mental. But that's not the only reason that Gray had stopped by. He told Aaron that unfortunately the prison failed to see the seriousness of his request to have Austin be put into protective custody ASAP. When they did go to move him finally from his cell, he was already dead, which left Aaron feeling like he for sure missed something now. And then it cuts over a little bit later. We see Aaron in another session with Dr. London, and he uses the same word, frustrating, to describe things now as he did yesterday. And she tells him to focus on what he can control, since things being out of control can be scary, especially with how much violence is in police work jobs like the one he's in. And Aaron says that since Tyson's still in custody, he can work on tying him to the murder. But what he doesn't get is if Stacy, who is, we finally know this woman's name, unless I missed it, which apologies if I did, but I really don't think so. Like, I can't remember if her name was ever said. But so if Stacy had until like that day to pay production money, why was her husband murdered the night before? And so to help answer that question, Aaron brought her back in to help identify some of Tyson's associates. And the one that she did pick out was Smitty, of all people. Like, they had all his different mugshots, and then Smitty.
Like, she definitely did not take time to even look at it. It was a lie. Like, she was like, yeah, it's him. It's him. And it's like, really? We zoomed in on it. Even Tim looked down and he was like, that's clearly a lie. Yeah.
And what just really sold me was like, that's him. I'm scared of him. I'm like, yeah, Smitty's real scary. Like, you gotta be kidding.
Was watching that last night, I was like, yeah, you know, sometimes I kind of am too. Not because he's like big and mean, but like because you never know what he's gonna say or do sometimes.
That's
So,
true.
you
That's
know.
fair. And so obviously they know that something's kind of going on now. And they ended up stopping Stacy before the elevator doors closed. She was calling someone to tell them that Austin was still alive. I mean, because Tim and Aaron had lied to her and told her that he was, and he was going to be, you know, moved really soon to, you know, a place where no one could get to him. And Tim made her give up her phone and was gonna run a trace on it. And Aaron figured out that there were multiple calls to Stacy's house for domestic violence against Austin, but no convictions for them. And poor Aaron did get, I mean, it was a slap, right? It wasn't a punch, but still, like, I mean, she hit him nonetheless in the face, over this, over all of this. And so he technically did pass Tim's train test after all. So, yeah.
What a mouthful to say. Tim's train test.
I know, like, say that three times
Tim
fast is
test.
ridiculous.
Test. You know what I would have loved to see, and obviously this is just like a bonus, but Tim and Aaron being like, Smitty, we need you to take this picture. And Smitty's like, why? And they're like, because we need to use you as a suspect. And Smitty's like throwing a fit about it. That I would have paid good money to see.
Yeah. And I just, and see, now I'm waiting for like one of these days of this if they have to go the extra mile and like put Smitty in a lineup just, to like diversify it or something
Yeah.
for a different case and just have him do
Yeah.
that.
Oh my gosh. Because if anyone would do it, it would be Smitty. He would likely ask questions about it, but he would do it. He would do it. So, yeah. No, I lost it when I saw that. I was like, they would use Smitty's picture. I mean, they can't use like Nolan's, you know? So. But yeah, moving on from the Aaron stuff, I do love that they are showing his therapy sessions on like in the episode, even though we've only seen a couple. I think it's really nice to see. So, but yeah, so now we have the Pentagram killer case and Lucy shooting, which were the big talks of the episode. And first we see Lucy and Tim walking through the district. She insists she's fine. She's just gonna have to retake the detective's exam in 2 years, which it's crazy that it's every 2 years, but I mean, I guess it is a pretty big test. So then we kind of cut over to see John and Selena walking through the park. He asks how she liked riding with Tim and Nyla, and she's like, yeah, it was very educational, and you know, Nyla and him have very distinct styles. And she's like, why did they say something about me? And John's like they did actually. Like all rookies, you are a work in progress. Which I agree with. And there was some chatter about this on Twitter. She is a rookie and she's gonna mess up, but like I don't feel like she's getting the discipline and the guidance maybe that like she probably should be or like deserves because she didn't have a rough and tough TO like Tim or Nyla, like even Angela. But yeah, I don't know. It is interesting to see John being a TO and how different he is versus others. But I also feel like, and we saw in this episode that her mistakes are like due to John Nolan, not like really bringing the hammer down. Not, I feel like he's not really like teaching her before she does things. Like he's just kind of like seeing what happens and letting it go, or flow, going with the flow. But yeah, so then they end up like walking to up to a shelter in the park. They're there because of a dead body, and it's a possible homicide, so the detectives are called. Nyla and Angela arrive. They find the signature from the Pentagram killer on the woman's body, like on her like torso. And so we see the team debrief the Pentagon killer outside of the shelter. This person is wanted in the connection of to a string of unsolved homicides in the early 2000s. All of the victims are like middle-aged females, and again, the Pentagram signature is like carved into their midsections. But then, for some reason, in 2009, he just stopped. So then John like just kind of casually mentions that Hulu dropped a new docu-series on them or on him, so maybe like the renewed notoriety has inspired him to like come out of retirement. And Angela like throws in a little tidbit about like how she made her brothers escort their mom everywhere, and Nyla's like, yeah, the city threw everything that they had at it. My first sergeant was on the task force. So then as I'm rewatching it again today, I'm like, okay, we know Angela was in college in the early 2000s, say like from 2000 to 2005. Like that's the time frame we're looking at. And Nyla was just starting out, presumably. So like they've been on the job or been like in the police world for like 20 to 24 years about. Like it was just interesting to kind of think about, but I could have timelines all wrong. So then we see John tell Selena, like, whenever we respond to a potentially high profile event, like, it's important to notify the watch commander. So Selena's like, I'll get right on that. She steps away, but she's still like an earshot of Nyla, Angela, and John. She calls over the radio that their DB could potentially be a victim of the Pentagram Killer. And John snaps his head over at her, yells, and like Nyla has just this like WTF look on her face. John immediately gets reprimanded by Nyla, and as Selena's TO, that's on him. And he's like, yes, I should have been clear, to never give out like sensitive information like that over the radio, because not every news organization or hobbyist with a scanner has it. And so then like Lucy, like it was obviously on cue, but it was almost just kind of like comical in a way. She like comes up and she's like, did I just hear someone say something about the Pentagram Killer on the radio? And Selena's like, ew, is that really bad? And I'm just like, the girl doesn't understand. She probably should, right? Because I'm sure being in LA, they've taken like more high profile cases too. But like, also, John's explaining it after she made the mistake. Like, she's learning, but also, he shouldn't have been explaining it after the mistake. So Nyla and Angela then explained that like people will try to call in with tips and try and be a part of it, but most of it's a waste of time. So John and Selena take the witness back to the station and are told to stay off the radio. Which I didn't, I don't know. I get why and Nyla and Angela were pissed, because they're the detectives on the scene. Like they are gonna have to deal with all of this, but like, I don't know. To me, people were talking about how Nyla and Angela were with Lucy, but to me, I saw it more with Selena. Now, granted, Selena is a rookie. Like, she's further down on the totem pole, but yeah. So then Lucy offers to canvas the scene, and Nyla's like, no, the perimeter needs to be secured first. So Lucy stands by the dumpsters to do her part, and Angela and Nyla like shut her down from really helping much besides canvassing. Or besides securing the perimeter. So she's standing there when she like sees this pile of vomit. And she calls Nyla, who's like, it's likely unrelated, but we'll collect it just to be safe. It could be a while until TID comes and they're done processing the scene. So like you're just gonna have to wait a couple of hours max, like 4. And until then, she's just supposed to keep an eye on it. Nyla like stops walking to see Selena and John getting yelled at by Gray, and Angela walks up. It turns out she has an ID on the victim, Cheryl Budney, who works at a junior high school. And so she turns out she left to the previous day at like her usual time, which was 5 p.m., and didn't show up to work the next day. She doesn't live close, so like the location has to be related to the killer in some way. We then find out that Cheryl's brother is on the way and that they'll talk to him. And so then we cut over to see John and Selena coming out of Gray's office. And Selena's like, Gray was very fair. And she apologizes to them again. And Angela's like, oh no, you don't have to worry about us. It's you guys that will pay the price. And so it turns out that John and Selena are fielding the calls that are coming in. But before Angela and Nyla walk away, Angela reiterates that if they get anything, to call them on the phone. So we're kind of just focusing on Angela and Nyla at this point. They're talking to Cheryl's brother, who comes in. He's like, I can't stay long. Like, you know, what's going on? They tell him about Cheryl, and he's shocked. He's like, well, when and how? And so they're like, you know, we want to tell you more in private, but he's like, you're just gonna have to tell me here. And so he's like, I just talked to her, you know, can't think of anyone who would hurt her. He even asks like what he's even asked what he was doing the previous night. He leaves. He's genuinely upset. Angela gives him a business card to call them when he's free to talk. So that's all that we see of the brother. But then we cut over to John and Selena in the shop, looking at a list of tips that they're getting for the Pentagram Killer. Selena's like rattling off a couple. She's like, you know, this man says that his neighbor's cat is possessed. John's like, there has to be one tip in there that's not insane and a little bit helpful. And so Selena reads a couple more, and then comes across one from a woman who claims her husband committed the murders while he was on shore leave because he was a commercial fisherman. And so John's like, let's go to that one because it's the perfect excuse to be out late hunting, and the victims have ligature marks from being tied up, and fishermen are really good at tying knots. So they arrive to this woman's house. She immediately regrets calling in the tip, calling it a mistake. And she's like, I just didn't know what to do. So she hands Selena a box of driver's license. There's only like a couple in it. But Selena picks up the first one and recognizes the name. It turns out it's the first victim from the Pentagram Killer. So when asked where her husband is at the moment, she's like, he's been dead for 7 years. So they arrest her and she's like, what will happen to me? And John's like, the detectives will just ask you questions. And he gives her his card, saying if she needs anything, he can just call his mobile number, but also it's to build rapport. So the woman insists that she didn't know anything about the murders until after he died and she found the trophies. Turns out that the husband wasn't on the original suspect list, though, so he was good at flying under the radar. If he wasn't on the original suspect list, though, like, how does he have those IDs then? This entire case just kind of seemed weird to me because it seems like it wrapped up well, but then it was also like there were loose ends on it. So Gray pulls up. Selena gives John all the credit for like picking out the tip to follow. And Gray tells them that there's going to be a press conference and he'd like for them to be there so he can recognize their work. So we go back over to see Lucy at the station. She's watching the press conference, looking defeated. Tim walks by the table she's at to like take her home. And before they leave, they see Nyla and Angela walk in with the widow. And Lucy's like, I almost got attached to that call, but I got a 211. That was a false alarm. And Tim's like, and you thought if you would take it and take, get this, Prim would have realized what a mistake he made by torpedoing the detective's exam. So Tim like tries to cheer her up and he's like, the best part of patrol is not knowing what's going to happen next. And maybe tomorrow you'll be a big hero. So then John and Selena are like briefly talking with Cheryl's coworkers and neighbors, and telling Nyla and Angela what they found. And then Nyla and Angela are like, well, we found an unofficial message board for her school with a separate thread like devoted to hating on her. With the most extreme comments coming from Conrad Battaglia. And he lives with his wife a mile away from the park, coaches football, has no criminal history. But John and Selena are supposed to bring him in. So while Nyla and Angela work on looking at all of his possible defenses and alibis, John and Selena are going over to his house. But before they do that, the widow calls John and she's like, I want these reporters outside of my house to leave. And he's like, I can't help you with that, but if they're trespassing, call 911. She's like, the police took my front door. I have no privacy. And John's like, yeah, because they probably thought there was evidence on it, and that's why they took it. And so then, like, he tells her any questions about the investigation should be directed to Angela and Nyla. And he's like, but I do advise that you stay with your friends and relatives until, like, things settle down. And I'm just like, dude, she called you for help. Like, yes, you helped her with that a little bit, but like, also, I don't know, like, send someone over there, send one of your like fellow cops over there. Instead, you're just gonna tell her to call 911 and she's literally talking to you right now. Like, yes, it's not the same, but it also kind of is. And so he then like rushes her off the phone too, which I don't know, to me was just kind of like dumb move. Like, she literally called you for help and now you're like, I don't have time to talk and help you. And so then he turns back to Selena and he's like, let's go. And then he's like, I can't remember where we're going. Like, John, come on. You're a TO. You're a TO at this point. I like him, but like, it does make me wonder how he became a TO even with a golden ticket. Because I'm like, you just do really interesting stuff at times. And like, he literally gets himself into trouble. He always has.
I don't know. I feel like it's just because he probably is feeling the pressure just from being, reprimanded,
Oh,
like
100%. Yeah.
from Nyla and Angela, and then you're Gray too. So I feel like he's just trying to do like what he thinks he
is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like it's not actually like true. There were a few instances in this episode that were very out of character
Yeah.
for some of our faves.
Yeah. Yeah, like he was definitely like feeling the pressure, but it was also just like, you're a better guy than this, you know? Like, yeah, I don't know. So then they arrived to Conrad's house. The front door is open, and after making their presence known with no response, they're entering to start clearing the house. John sees a dead body in the kitchen, but Conrad's nowhere to be found. So then Angela and Nyla arrive to the scene. They give updates on what they've done so far to try and catch him. John gives a rundown of the scene and how they found the woman. And when the question of time element comes up, for when the victim died, Selena looks at John and he gives her the green light. Now that was definitely a good TO move. But then, like, Selena estimates 1 hour to 90 minutes tops of when she died to when they found her. And John's like, she's right. So Angela asks about the canvas. John answers her. They share Conrad's closest friends and family, like a list of them. And if he's on the run, like he'll need help. So John's like, I'll have Lucy help with this. She'll take odds, we'll take evens. So then we see John, Selena, and Lucy all following up on the addresses. Lucy's striking out. And while John and Selena are pulling up to another, they see someone start running. But not before John hangs, or like John's bypasses the widow's call. And so Lucy like attaches herself to the call, helping stop Conrad from running. And as he's getting handcuffed, he's like, he's trying to kill me, he's trying to kill me. And so that's kind of all that we know. And then John hears a call over the radio from dispatch, and it's the widow's address. And there's a man trapped under the homeowner's vehicle. So interesting. I mean, he declined her call, and then the call comes over the radio. So John's like, yeah, we'll take that call, and leaves Conrad in Lucy's hands. I mean, okay. I don't know. Like, to me, that was just another interesting TO move. Like, you take this guy down. Yes, you have backup there, but you take this guy down, and then you're like, okay, bye. Like, I'm just not gonna do anything. I'm gonna leave him in Lucy's hands. It was just kind of weird. I don't
I
know.
mean, maybe he thought that he was doing her a favor, like helping her out since he brought her in on the call. And then so he's like, okay, maybe she can like handle it. I mean, not that she couldn't, but just like, yeah, it's kind of a lot. Like to just be like, okay, you just got here. Okay, cool. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Well, and like he likely did not know that it was gonna turn into more, but
Yeah,
also at
so.
the same time, like you were the responding officer. Like, pretty sure you should have stayed on that because Nyla and Angela would have pulled up then. Yeah, it's just weird. So then Lucy talks to Conrad more, and he ends up confessing to Cheryl's murder. He's like, I didn't mean to kill her. I was just tired of her lies. And he was scared and knew that the police would see the post that he made about Cheryl. So he tried to make it look like it was the Pentagram Killer from the documentary. Then turns out that he got a text from Cheryl that morning about wanting him to feel the same pain that he caused, which, like, he had already killed her. So
Right.
it was just weird. I mean, he obviously had to have known that it was someone else behind that. I mean, how could you not?
Right.
I'm the viewer and I knew that. Like,
Right.
so he's like, yeah, you can look at my phone. And then as soon as he says that, he's shot and more gunshots ensue. So Lucy like uncuffs him, drags him behind the shop. She starts taking shots. We see like glimpses of the shooter. Nyla and Angela then arrive. Lucy's still full-fledged into the shootout. She suggests going down this alley to cut him off. Nyla and Angela are like, no way. You're an open target then. Lucy's running. She's like, I got this. She starts running. She avoids the gunshots, dives to the ground to avoid the shooter. I legit thought she was shot, which is what they wanted us to think, because the way that the music distorted, you could hear the heartbeat like sound. It was just amazing. She's okay though. Our girl gets back up. Her radio's like done. It's not working anymore. So she signals a code 4 with 4 fingers in the air. And Nyla and Angela like breathe a sigh of relief. They commend her for it, like just to themselves making it and not wanting to give up her position. And then she comes face to face with the shooter, who's done. And she has her gun drawn. He keeps his hand on his gun, though, walks closer to her, and when he like draws his gun to like take a shot at her, she beats him to it and shoots him point blank in the chest. So that's kind of where we leave off there. And then we go back over to the widow's house, which I have thoughts about this scene too. And we see the injured reporter on the gurney. We're hearing news coverage about it, like kind of the news talk in the background. And it looks like Selena and John are like rolling up for the first time ever to the scene, which is interesting because it's also like completely dark. Like it's not like it's just dusk. Lucy was out there in like mid-afternoon, it looks like. So it's like, where were John and Selena? Like it was, that's a continuity issue because like
Maybe they just couldn't get
they
there with all the like reporters and stuff like swarming everywhere.
maybe and maybe like because I thought Lucy was like doing all that in mid-afternoon because it was like it looked like it could have been like 3 p.m. Maybe it was like later in the day.
I mean, yeah, it was definitely bright out, and then it magically
Yeah,
turned to
I don't know.
looking like midnight.
I was just like, that is like a continuity thing. But also, like, John and Selena left the scene with Conrad. So between them leaving and then them getting to this one, what were they doing? Were they just like getting in and out? Like, what was up? So, so then John's like talking to Opal, the widow, and she's like, I just wanted them gone. I have no friends to stay with. Everything's gone. Like, my life, my husband took it all with him. Being the Pentagram killer. And John's like, they can't blame you if you didn't know. And when she doesn't respond, he's like, did you know? And she's like, of course I didn't know, but there were some things that threw me off, like the jewelry. She knew that she couldn't afford it. And he'd want her to wear it and then it would disappear, which is weird. Okay. I feel like this storyline will kind of come back because they just kind of left it open-ended. And then she also found a pair of woman's underwear in the car. Again, weird. She didn't ask because she didn't want to know. And she just didn't really want to know what he was up to. So, yeah. So then like John walks into the hospital later on to find Bailey with her partner who's getting bandaged up, because he was shot in the leg. But then Bailey gives Lucy her flowers basically and tells John that Lucy was an absolute badass out there and that they're still waiting to hear if the guy she shot is going to pull through. It turns out that patrol found 87 guns in the guy's house, which okay. And the reporters in surgery, the widow Opal crushed his leg, and about 50 reporters got everything on camera, so there's not going to be a lot of wiggle room for her defense. And then we see Lucy waiting in the hospital room. She has the news on about the gunman being shot. And Wesley and Gray are out in the hallway with what looks to be a lot of other lawyers. So then we see Tim, worried Tim, walking into Lucy's room. And she hasn't heard any news yet. She's spinning out about if he dies, and what if she killed him. And then Tim's like, we'll deal with it when that happens, if that happens. So then Gray and Wesley walk in. The shooter, Jeff Budney, Cheryl's brother, made it through surgery. Wesley's like, the DA will still need your statement for the shooting inquiry. And should he die at a later time from his injuries, the investigation will resume. But Gray tells her not to worry about the statement right now. It can wait until tomorrow. And then after Gray and Wesley leave, Tim's like, you know, we should go home. Like he pulls her in for a hug. Everything about the scene, the music, it was just great. It was chef's kiss. So I feel like we'll see more like Lucy angst kind of and like Lucy-centric stuff after not passing the detective's exam and seeing like where she goes from here with this. But there were also like three murder cases going on, and I was very like confused. Because this whole Bundy one, like, we thought it would be about the Pentagram killer, and then it wasn't. And then, like, the
Yeah, but then it
Aaron one.
was like But then it was like the one guy killed Cheryl, but then obviously it wasn't him that was texting from Cheryl's phone.
Right.
So are we presuming that that was Jeff that was doing that? Then why the heck would Jeff do that?
I think so. I think that would be Jeff because Jeff knew that Cheryl was dead.
I just don't, but like, why?
I don't know.
Why? I
Because
still
he
don't
wanted like
understand it.
revenge.
I just
I don't
don't
know.
understand. I don't, oh my God, I don't understand because then it was like the one, oh God. And it was just, yeah, so many things.
For me, the Pentagram Killer is still not like that's not the dude that it was.
So many
I
things.
don't think. I don't think that's him because I don't know. She just like she knew, but then it was also like, okay, we knew that it was a like he was wanted in a string of homicides, right? We only
Yeah.
saw a couple of IDs there. Like to me,
Yeah.
that would be more. And like
Yeah.
it just
I mean,
didn't necessarily seem completely finished, but
because like I was
maybe.
over here literally thinking that that Jeff like murdered his sister.
Oh.
Because like he did not seem broken up about it in the slightest when Angela and Nyla told him, and he was like, I have 30 minutes to get back, from my break or
Yeah.
whatever. Can you just tell me? That's why I was like so confused. And I was like, this Conrad person, like literally just killing her because of the comments that he made on some forum. I'm like, are you joking? Like every community has some forum where there's some
Yeah.
like wackadoodle person,
Yeah.
like going off. Like, I don't know. It just, nothing just like didn't make any, I mean, it made sense, but not in the way that I thought it was going to.
Yeah. Well, it seems like she was very hated. Like they have an entire threat dedicated to hating her. So it's
Yeah.
like, why wasn't Conrad then? Like there had to have been other people. Maybe that Jeff had found it and was like, I'll just start going
Maybe.
down the list. I don't know.
Maybe
Or like
that's
knew that
true.
like that guy had been like spreading, like saw that he had been spreading a lot of hate about her. I don't know. It's weird. Also, like, how does a junior high school teacher have an entire like message board thread or
The
like
heck if I
side
know.
board that like they're hating her so much? Like, what?
It
She's a
just
junior
didn't.
high school teacher. It's not that serious.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like, yeah.
And then also there are teachers that literally teach junior high. That's like something that junior high school kids do when they have too much time on the internet. Like, not
Yeah.
teachers.
Yeah, I don't know. And I just like, yeah, I don't know. And then just like all I could think about was when just how much Opal's story changed.
Yes.
Like ever so slightly, but not totally admitting that she
Yes.
actually knew it. And then all I
That's
could
why I
think
think it's not
about,
necessarily done. I
I
don't
mean,
think so.
it can't be. I don't, I mean,
No.
I, well, okay, I suppose it can, but like, if obviously the Pentagram Killer did not kill Cheryl, it's like, and normally you need more than just the IDs and the
Right.
like the little things.
Yeah.
I don't know, but just all I could think about was the show on Investigation Discovery called Evil Lives Here, and it's like literally the like intro of every single episode of that show is like, so and so didn't think that their, significant other or spouse or child or whoever, could be capable of these things. Dot dot dot. But there had been signs. And it just stays on the screen like that for
Yeah.
like 30 seconds. And I was like, that's all I could think about when Opal was like, well, but I noticed this, this, and this. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I part of me was thinking during the episode, I was like, what if she's the killer? Like,
Yeah,
yes,
or that.
he died 7 years ago, but like now she's just like restarting everything. I don't know. I don't think it's done. I don't think it's done. Because she didn't invite them in, which was kind of weird, but
That's
also like
true.
she regretted calling them in the first place. And she just like immediately had this box. Like she knew that they were gonna come.
Yeah, like
It
all
just
ready to
seemed
go.
very suspect to me.
Definitely off.
I
Yeah.
don't think it's fully done. I don't. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. There's only like 6 episodes left of the season, right? Because they're only doing 10 episodes. So, I mean, if it's not wrapped up in this season, I'm sure it will be next. Praying, crossing our fingers that we get 7th season, which like renewals are out or they are starting because One Chicago got renewed. So we'll have to see. But yeah, that was about it for the episode. We do have one listener thought. Do you want to take us through that one?
Sure. Sheila had said, I doubted Aaron was ready to return to work. While I didn't think he'd turtle up, he did better than I thought he would. I'm glad he kept listening to his instincts. The storyline with the widow was heartbreaking. She doesn't know what to think about Blair. Wow. I don't see her being the big bad. I guess that's what people like call bad guys. I don't know. Something rubs me the wrong way. I don't like that she released Aaron to full duty after his heart rate spiked. She's glad that Selena and Aaron's friendship is starting to get back to normal. They missed it, and they think that Tim did a great job with Aaron, pushing him where he needed, and letting him find his feet in the end. And they also said, I'm glad Lucy was the one who figured out who the killer actually was. I believe that Lucy would have always done exactly what she did during the shootout because that's how she was trained and who she is. Anytime one of the characters shoots or kills someone, I have conflicting feelings about it. At least Lucy still hasn't taken someone's life yet. I dread when or if it does actually happen for her. It was a great and intense episode. Yeah. Good way to sum it up.
I don't know. I don't know what to think about Blair either. People like her and then people also don't. And I feel like I've seen people not like her. I feel like it's only because they're kind of hinting at the Aaron and Blair stuff, which I'm okay. I don't really need. I'd rather have Aaron and Selena, but that's not gonna happen.
But
So.
like also it's like so like unethical. It's unethical and not, I don't really see it. I mean, I could maybe see if they could just like awkwardly flirt or something or have more awkward interactions, but that'd be humorous to me. I couldn't see it. Although you can never make me hate Danielle Campbell because I'm so excited to have her back on television. I don't even care if she does end up being a what's the word I'm looking for?
You know,
Adversary. I almost said
okay.
advocate. That's not right. Adversary.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't really see it, honestly. Like, between them, I kind of did maybe like when his heart rate spiked, but then I was also like, I mean, he's probably just excited too to get out of there. So he's excited to go back to the job, but
Yeah, like you said.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. Now, like, if he doesn't see her anymore, though, like for therapy and like they reconnect. Yes, it is still not very good because she knows a lot about it, but what would you think of it then? Because like they're
Oh,
not
right, I
seeing each other
guess.
for work or for
Yeah.
that.
Right? I didn't really think about that. Just because we only know her in the context of being a psychiatrist or psychologist. Yeah, I mean, I
Presumably
guess
this
it.
would be like the last episode that we would see her in. Right,
Yeah.
it's like he's done, but then we've also seen her in
Right, for
that
the.
610,
Yeah.
so I don't know.
I mean, yeah, if it were to be like outside of them, but still, though, you would think that even a younger therapist or a relatively newer one would know, to not do that still because you're still walking a fine line because you know all these personal things about
100%.
these personal things about this person that you would not have known right away. So you're like going into a new relation, well, assuming or presuming, I guess,
Yeah.
you'd be going into a new relationship with all of these heavier things.
Yeah. I don't
I don't
know.
know.
It will be interesting to see.
Yeah, I
Especially
don't know.
because she knows that like he had feelings for Selena. So I
Right.
didn't think she would like tread
Right.
on that, but
I don't know. I just feel like it's like, yeah, they're two like pretty people. Like, sure, we can, like float that idea around, but
yeah.
I don't really need it to happen.
Like I said, I'd rather have him and Selena.
Yeah.
But they had awkward moments in this episode too. Like when she was like, "How are you?" And he's like, "I'm good, ready to get back." And she's like, "Good." I'm just like, yeah, they're either not gonna get anywhere until next season, if anything, if that even. But also I could see them just always kind of being awkward. But they have to address the elephant in the room at some point and just like get past it because they're gonna be working together. So they have to like move past it. But yeah, any other notes about this episode?
No. The more I talk about it, it's gonna make my head spin.
Same, same. It's gonna make my head hurt, and I'm already like
Yeah, it was a
losing it.
lot.
So yeah, it was a good episode. It was a good one to come back with. It was confusing, but it was a good one to come back with. And we have 2 more weeks of it, so or 2 more weeks of the rookie. So, but yeah, you can find us on Twitter at the Shop Talk Pod _, or email us at shoptalktherookiepodcast@gmail.com with all of your thoughts. We love to talk about other TV shows, movies, anything like that as well. So even if it's not about the rookie, we're always down to chat. And you can find us individually on Twitter as well. I'm at jstark804.
And I'm at Carrie Hyman.
And we're on TikTok as well, at the Shop Talk Podcast _. So make sure to follow us there too. And don't forget to check out our T Public store for new merch. But yeah, until next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys. Go get 'em, boo.